Say when. Hey guys, welcome to Unleashed, and this is where we talk about our passion for the outdoors, for God, and what it truly means to live in the freedom of Christ Jesus, not in the man-made prison of religiosity. I'm Brent Henderson, and remember, as always, that we are the resistance. You know, as always, again, make sure to give us a like and hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts, and also, if you'd like more information about this ministry, you can go to unleashed.men. And there you're going to find out more information about upcoming events, booking, you know, information on one-on-one coaching, and also how to come alongside this ministry financially to help support everything we do in reaching the lost for Christ. You know, how to keep moving forward to equip and empower, you know, those out there who really want to make a difference in this world. Great weekend this last weekend. We're now, like I said, in springtime, which is awesome. And I want to share a little bit of my personal journey. And it's a journey I think is really an important one, you know, breaking free from fear. I think today's podcast, we're going to call this maybe learning to fly again. Because when you've ever had something happen to you, you know, that created a brokenness within you, it's difficult to get just right back up again and try to not only just pick up where you left off, but become better, you know, going forward rather than starting to go backwards. And that's what can happen so many times when we live in fear, when we live in shame, and it's exhausting. You know, that feeling like we have to measure up somehow. And if you've ever felt trapped by the expectations of others or the belief that you have to perform to earn God's love, then this episode is for you. So this past weekend, it was kind of like finding my why again. And I talk about that. But it really is. It's a constant, you know, being reminded of why you do what you do. You know, whenever I go to take the stage, I have to spend time before I get up there in prayer and saying, God, give me a heart, give me a passion for these guys that I'm about to address. It's kind of like the movie Gladiator, right? You know, when he's getting ready to go out there and he's getting all pumped up because he knows the people are going to be watching. But not from a performance aspect like maybe that, but they're really watching, you know, can I trust what you're saying to me first, whether you're talking about hunting or whatever that stuff is? But more importantly, can they trust what you're saying about God in your own life? Maybe not just through somebody else's story or scripture, which is incredibly important, but through your own personal story with God. Where did you see God? Where did he show up? What verses have really stood out in your life to help you, you know, get rid of these chains of religiosity? To move into that grace that the New Testament, you know, has for us. So this past weekend, I was speaking for another sportsman's banquet over towards St. Louis, and my wife Stacy went with me this weekend, which was awesome. I love it when she can go, and she's kind of my compass. You know, not when I'm driving the car, believe me, because she'll come out of the parking lot and from Kohl's and she'll be trying to find the car again. So I'm not talking about that kind of a compass. I'm talking about when I'm struggling. She has a way. She just knows me. And she's got this gift of being able to just kind of call things as she sees them. You know, there's times when that can drive me crazy. And maybe sometimes I might get defensive because I feel like it's, I don't know, threatening me somehow. Here's the thing is, I know there's other times when I know she's right, and it forces me to stop and really think through, you know, what I'm doing or maybe how I'm believing, you know, the choices I'm making. But she can do that in my life because she really knows me and we have trust. So at the event last Friday night, I'm going to kind of be kind of really quickly, painfully honest here. I was struggling to hold my thoughts together while I was speaking to the crowd. You know, that doesn't happen very often, but sometimes it happens. I'm not exactly sure, you know, how the enemy gets his foot in that door, you know, in my mind, and it kind of causes my mind to just almost go blank. And it doesn't happen much anymore, but it was happening Friday night. And it's weird because I'm telling stories, and as I'm telling the story, I also know that my mind is kind of a blank slate in that moment. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? And so I began to literally, I'm talking to God in my mind while I'm talking, telling a story, saying, God, I'm not sure what's happening with my thoughts right now, but I need you to hold it together for me. And I need your help to connect with this story, with the people. And I was really struggling to hold my thoughts together. And when I was done, I forgot the most important story of the whole evening at the very end of the night to tie things back up, you know, and it's that moment when you're bringing the people down to that passionate thing and their why and your love for God and how that can change everything in your life. But when I was done, I quietly sat down beside Stacy as the MC of the evening. You know, he got up, he took the stage, and he was wrapping things up, maybe giving away some of the final prizes or whatever. And she looked at my body language, and she knew I was struggling, and she knew why. I was kind of like sitting there with my elbows down on my knees, like I was kind of prayerfully kind of looking at the ground, but that's not what I was really doing. And she knew it. So she leans forward and she whispers in my ear, I think I know why you're struggling. And it's because you've told these same stories so many times that it's just like you were going through a routine. She said, they're great stories, and probably nobody else in the room realized that you were struggling. She said, but I know that if you don't feel like you're at your best, you'll beat yourself up. And maybe it's time that you start working on some new stories or try to find different ways to tell the same stories, but in a way that's connected to your why. Because when it's connected to your why, it just seems like you're on fire, you're passionate, and passion sells. And I mean that in a good way. It draws people in. And she was right. I felt like I was just, you know, lifting and dropping the needle on a record player. And it had become so mundane that I felt like I was basically on cruise control. Like when you're going down the highway, you put it on cruise and your mind just kind of disappears. You're still driving, you're still noticing everything, but somehow you almost lose track of where you are because you're on that same road for a long time. And I did. I felt like I was on cruise control, traveling across like the plains when I go on a hunt in Colorado, and I'm going through Kansas or someplace where there's no mountains or streams or valleys to hold my attention, to waken my passions. And I had left my why somewhere else that night. And my lack of performing at my best, and I don't mean to call it a performance, but there is an element of that because you have to present the story in a way to draw people in. And you know, I just didn't feel like I was my best, and I feel like I had disappointed not just my wife, because she was right in the front, but I think those who were listening, and more than that, maybe even God himself. Now, I know better than that. I know God knows when we have off nights. I know he knows what's going on, and God's not going to get so disappointed that he has to take Prozac now, right? I'm not talking about something like that. God knows what's going on. He cares more about what was going on in me than the way that I was delivering a message, because his word never comes back void. And God is the reason why I do what I do. And he has an amazing way, you know, of encouraging right when we need to hear it. And so after the event, you know, we go to the hotel, and I had a message from a man who heard me speak, I think 3 weeks ago, about 90 minutes away from this event, so it wasn't too far. And he'd seen where I was going to be speaking west of him, and that I would be actually going back past his exit, not far from where he lives. And he told me that he was so moved by the stories when I had spoken 3 weeks earlier and the teaching that were in my books. He had purchased both my books, Into the Wilds and The Roar Within, that he wanted to see if he could meet me at an exit on the way back to Indiana, and he wanted to buy 15 of these books to give out to some men that God had put on his heart. You know, those stories that had begun to feel like a broken record in me, they impacted this guy in such a powerful way that he was willing to invest his own money to see lives changed. And wow, that was a real wake-up. Now, this is like, after the event, we're back at the hotel room when I'm getting this message from something from 3 weeks prior. It was one of those breadcrumbs God was putting down. He knew what I was feeling, and he was trying to get me back in the game, trying to get my head out of the muck, right? And even though I felt that weekend that my voice wasn't as strong as I wanted, God's voice always comes through loud and clear. And it was such a great reminder to me that the enemy, he's going to keep on trying to knock you down. He's going to keep on trying to clip your wings, right? But God is the one who opens the ears of those who need to hear His powerful message of freedom in Christ. It just so happens that I get to be able to share that through the venue of the outdoors, which is my passion and the passion of so many of you guys that are listening to this. So let me give you a little bit of backstory here that might explain a little bit, kind of a personal side of maybe feeling ashamed or embarrassed or something. So many of you know, years ago I went through a painful divorce. And after my divorce, I found myself really overwhelmed. And not just by the pain of separation and the loss of so many friends and family, you know, due to the brutal nature of divorce, but by the crushing fear of what others would think. And I was so afraid of judgment and condemnation from the church and those around me that when I began to date again, the only person I dated was my wife, Stacy. And I would drive to places, you know, I'd take her far away where no one would recognize. I want to say us, but to be honest, so that no one would recognize me. And I'm not proud of that. I think it was really all about me being in ministry and doing what I do. I was afraid of what others might think. I wasn't free. I was hiding. And I hated that in me. I know my pastor, when we had gone through premarital counseling and we were talking about this very thing, he says, no, I understand when you are in ministry and you get the gossip wheel kind of thing going. He goes, you might want to be dating, you know, a ways away, maybe not right here in your hometown for a while until you guys feel free. But I kept putting it off and we kept driving, you know, 60, 90 miles away to do all this stuff. And I was hiding. And I thought that hiding a new relationship so that others' opinions and comments couldn't interfere with it would be like a protective shield that would make Stacy feel safe. But what it did instead is it made her feel hidden. You know, kind of like a doll on a shelf that only gets taken down when nobody else is around. And if some of you remember her story, you know, she never knew who her father was. She only found out maybe 4 years ago, and he had passed away years earlier. He had brought back some cancer when he was in Vietnam. I think it was Agent Orange that caused it. She was abandoned by her mother at the age of 8. So really, really tough, tough childhood. And the feelings of no one sees me. You know, if she's abandoned, doesn't know who her father is, you know, I've said on here before, what a child almost always knows about God comes through their earthly father. Well, if I didn't have an earthly father, does anyone really see me? And I'd come a long way in my own journey to find true freedom in Christ. But the pain from divorce and others' opinions, it put me right back on the hamster wheel of performance. And we all know what snakes do to hamsters. And I needed to figure this out. So one day, when Stacy and I were out of town, we were at a Mexican restaurant. I think we had finally quit going like 60 or 90 miles away, and we were 30 miles away. We were slowly, you know, moving things closer to home, but I still wasn't free. She was still kind of on the shelf, and I could feel it. I didn't know what to do with it, and I hated not living in freedom that I know is mine in Christ, but I was feeling controlled by the opinions of others. And the conversation at this Mexican restaurant we went to, it came back up again about how she was feeling hidden. And I knew in that moment, I had to deal with my own fears in order to move forward, you know, to experience real freedom, or I was going to lose her. So I called a dear friend of mine who is John Lynch. Some of you know his books, just incredible books. And I explained our situation to him. And if you would know anything about John, he has set so many people free from the feelings of needing to perform for their self-worth. And so he asks me this really simple but life-changing question. He said, are you tired of hiding? He said, are you ready to live in the room of grace rather than in the room of good intentions, which is like the religiosity room, right? Rather than this room of freedom where God is the only one whose opinion matters. And he said to me, if you are, Brent, you already know what you need to do. It's time to let go of your need to perform for your worth and let God love you right where you are. That was the cure. That moment changed everything for me. And I'll never forget sitting there and feeling like these chains were dropping off. And it was like I had been like a condor, right? You know, that giant bird but I had broken wings. And I was finally healed and set free on a mountaintop to fly again. And once I tasted that true grace of God, I knew I would never go back. And so as I was preparing to write today's podcast, I was scrolling through Facebook, having a cup of coffee this morning, and I came across a video of John Lynch from years ago. And it was something that he called the New Testament gamble. If you want to look this up and hear him say it, it is amazing. Again, it's John Lynch, and it's the New Testament gamble. And John powerfully and beautifully captures the heart of this freedom message. And I want to read that to you. I got the transcript, and I want you to listen to his words. What if I tell my children there is nothing they can do to make me love them more, and there is nothing they can do to make me love them less? What if I tell them that there is nothing they can do to be more righteous, nothing that they can do to be less righteous? What if I give them grace? What if I tell them who they are? What if I take away any element of fear, condemnation, or rejection? What if I tell them I love them and that I will always love them? What if I tell them I can't love them any more than I do right now, and I love them no matter what they do, as much as I love my only son? What if I tell them there's nothing that they can do to make my love go away? What if I told them there are no lists? What if I told them that they are righteous with my righteous right now? What if I told them they could stop beating themselves up? What if I told them they could stop being so formal, stiff, and jumping around me? And what if I told them I was absolutely crazy about them? What if I told them that even if they ran to the ends of the earth and did the most unthinkable, horrible things and killed me, even if they were unfaithful in their marriage, that when they came back to me, I'd receive them with tears and a party? What if I told them that I don't keep a log of past offenses? What if I told them that they don't have to be owned by men's religious traditions? What if I told them I'm their savior and that they're going to heaven no matter what? It's a done deal. What if I told them that they have a new nature and are saints? What if I actually live in them now, that I put my love, my power, my nature at their disposal? What if I told them that they didn't have to put on a mask anymore? What if I told them that it was really okay to be exactly who they are at this moment? What if I told them that it wasn't about their self-effort, but about allowing me to live my life through them? He went on in this video you'll hear. He says, what if I told them that I like Eric Clapton's music too, and I really kind of get tired of the these and the thous, and I never really did like the handbell choirs at Christmas time? And he just has a great twist on all these things. It kind of takes away all those religious should statements that we have and traditions that we think that we have to do. And he puts life back into what sometimes feels like a grave in our lives. But God's love for us isn't dependent on a to-do list that we must accomplish in order to win his love. He did it all with Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. He conquered the power of sin and death once and for all. So let me ask you something. Like I was, are you tired of hiding? Are you exhausted from trying to prove yourself, trying to be enough, trying to make sure you don't disappoint God or anybody else? Because the truth is, you never have to prove a thing. You are already fully known, fully loved, and fully accepted. It's time to step out of the shadows. It's time to stop living in the room of good intentions and walk freely into the room of grace. Because that's where Jesus is. That's where he's been all along, waiting for you, arms open, no lists, no expectations, just his love. You were never meant to live caged by fear and performance. You were meant to soar, to be unleashed. But here's the thing. When a great bird regains its ability to fly, it doesn't just change its world. It changes the world for all of those who witness it. When a condor that was once broken finally spreads its wings and soars again, those watching from below are left in awe. It stirs something within them. It makes them want to experience that same kind of freedom. And that is what happens when we live in the grace of God. When we step into true freedom, we give others permission to do the same. Our lives become a testimony, a story, a great story, a grand story that inspires the weary, the weak, the wounded, the ones still hiding in the shadows, the ones that continually keep asking the same questions. Do I have what it takes? Am I enough? Do you see me? Do you care about me? Those people that when they see us begin to fly again, they want to believe that maybe, just maybe, they were meant to fly too. So go, fly, live in His grace, because nothing you can do will ever make Him love you more, and nothing you can do will ever, 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 ever make Him love you less. And in doing so, you might just help take someone else's broken wings and help them learn to fly again. We'll see you next time.